I want to go with you today some in Yoni Haggadah. Most of the ideas that I will present are short. They're more pshat than drush. Many of them come from the Sefer called Idiyas Shebe Idiyas. It's a new Haggadah. Idiyas Shebe Idiyas. It's an expression that comes from the Gemara. There's Idiyas, Beinus, and Ziburiyas. I'm going to make an Haggadah called Ziburiyas Shebe Idiyas. Okay, it's I'm having a hard time finding the author. Of Avraham Shlomo Blum. Of Avraham Shlomo Blum. Okay, it's a likud. It's a likud of what he feels, what this person feels to be the best of the best. Every person has their own taste, right? And some of the things I've seen here, I've seen in other places. All right, so let's just go through a couple of ideas. Okay, this is an idea. It's not an idea which I saw in few places. It's just a short. Most of the things I'm going to tell you are very short. On Pesach, we spend a lot of time reminding ourselves of Tisha B'Av. For example, at Bash. We know that the night of the Seder is the same night of Tishra. So this year, the Seder falls out, what is it, Tuesday night?
Monday night.
So that means that means Tisha B'Av is going to be Tuesday. So it's going to be Tuesday, it's going to be Monday night will be Tisha B'Av. Monday night will be Tisha B'Av. At Bash. And for that reason, some people are accustomed to eat an egg. An egg is round. Egg does not have an opening. Egg is the food of a mourner. Avelus is a gilgul hachayzer ba'olam. And more importantly, more precisely, an egg has no opening. It's completely closed. And an avel is a human being that has nothing to say. When a person is overwhelmed with, when he's faced with death, what could a person possibly say? If, after his children died, at least in the beginning, before he complained, he was silent. An avel does not have what to say. When Avraham Avinu died, Yaakov prepared lentils. Lentils also is food of a mourner, because lentils have no opening. They're completely round. There's no opening. There is no pear. It's symbolic of a mourner that has nothing what to say. So we have this connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. Furthermore, we have a pasuk that says... I don't even remember the whole pasuk. There's a pasuk, Savati Bamiroimin. There's a pasuk, Bamiroimin. What's the meaning of the pasuk? The beginning of the pasuk refers to matzah, and the end of the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The beginning of the pasuk refers to matzah, and the end of the pasuk refers to maror. And the two go together. Bitterness, and that Bamiroimin was a reference. I don't remember the exact pasuk. You have to find the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The beginning of the pasuk begins with matzah, and the pasuk begins with maror, and that refers to, there's a connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. Pesach we eat matzah, on Tisha B'Av we just have the bitterness of the morning, the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We know that on Tisha B'Av we have a kina, Betzeisi Mitzrayim, Betzeisi Mirushalayim. And there's another kina where Yirmiyahu meets a woman who is dressed in black. And she, Yirmiyah says, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am the base. I am the Shechina. I'm dressed in black." And she gives a whole list of numbers. And she says, "I'm one. I'm three. I'm 12. I'm 70." And if you add up all the numbers, it equals the gematria of Pesach. It's a riddle. The riddle, when she ate up all the numbers of that woman, and then she goes on to say, but right now I'm black, I'm dressed in black because I'm mourning over the Churban of Yerushalayim. Again, another theme where you see that we connect Pesach and Tisha B'Av. What is the connection? What's this all about? Why are we trying so hard to connect Pesach and Tisha B'Av? So one answer, the Chassam Tzaddik is a very popular answer. It's a very interesting idea. That it used to be in Mitzrayim for 210 years, on the 15th day of Nisan, it was a day of national mourning. This is what he says, there's a tradition. Just like today we have Tisha B'Av, it's a national day of mourning, and likewise when they were in Mitzrayim, the day that the 70 souls entered into Mitzrayim, it was the 15th day of Nisan. And according to tradition, the Bris Bein HaBesarim took place on the 15th day of Nisan. The Bris Bein HaBesarim was not a pleasant event. It was a revelation, it was an announcement that there's going to be a gezeira of Va'avodim V'inu Osam Arba Me'er Shana. Going down to Egypt was not a pleasant experience. That's Be'eretz Lo Lohem. They were not happy, the 70 souls of Yaakov were not happy to go to Egypt. It was a day of Golos. It was the beginning of Golos, and to commemorate that Klal Yisrael were in Golos, on the 15th day of Nisan, for 210 years, it was observed by Klal Yisrael as a time of mourning, a time of Golos, a remembrance of the Churban. What happened? What happened? Suddenly they found themselves 210 years later, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kachatzei Salel Ani Yotzei B'Sech Mitzrayim, Umeis Kol Bukhar, and tomorrow you go out. Tomorrow is going to turn into a day of celebration, the day of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what happened that the Mitzrayim was our day of mourning, was Mishapech to a day of Sason V'Simcha. We went from Yogon V'Anocha to a moment time of Sason V'Simcha. So when we focus on Tisha B'Av, it's going to be exactly the same thing. When we today mourn, we today focus on Tisha B'Av as a day of national mourning, when Mashiach comes, will also once again be transformed into a day of Sason V'Simcha. That's how the Chassam Sofer learns the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. I want to suggest another idea, a very simple idea. It's really based upon a lot of Yesodos that I've seen in many Haggadahs. But the Iker Yesod of Pesach is Emunah. This is the theme which comes out over and over. And what a parent is trying to do with his children, night of Pesach, is instill within his children Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Batza is called Michla Dim Hemnusa, bread of faith. Everything about the Seder comes back to the Yesod of Emunah BaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 2 days a year do we focus on Emunah. The night of Pesach and the night or the day of Tisha B'Av. The only difference is, do you ask questions? Do you have a right to question why? Why is it so? We're learning Sefer Iyov now. Iyov is bitterly complaining. He's coming to question the principles of Emunah. Tisha B'Av is a day of tragedy. Is the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av captures within it personal tragedy. All tragedies in Klal Yisrael are commemorated to some degree on Tisha B'Av. And when a person suffers, his emunah is questioned. Person has a hard time dealing with why bad things happen to good people and why the wicked prosper. But the avoda of Tisha B'Av is don't ask questions. It's a very difficult avoda. Except. And don't ask questions. Have emunah, I accept. Pesach night is a zman where people are encouraged to learn Iyov.
Yeah.
It's a zman when children are encouraged. Ask questions. You got a problem? Something doesn't make sense. There's a problem with your emunah. You don't understand. Ask.
Right.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the night of Pesach gives parents unusual siyata d'shmaya to answer the most difficult questions of emunah. The Torah says, "Vigaltem levincha bayom ha'hu leimar." It is the night where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Lel shimurim." Nothing is going to go wrong when you answer your children. You answer a question when you are. Nothing will go wrong. Nothing will go wrong. It's a night of Lel Shimurim. Ki Yisholcha Bincha Mochar Lemar Mazos. Vigadat Levincha Bayom Ahu Lemar Bavur Zasashem Libitsesim Mitzrayim. The night of Pesach is night of Emunah, but it's a night when you encourage people to ask questions about Emunah. Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why did Klal Yisrael have to suffer? Why were the firstborns murdered by the Egyptians? There was a Holocaust. Why did 4/5 of the Jewish people perish in Egypt? The Holocaust was a third, or close to a half, of Klal Yisrael. In Mitzrayim it was 4/5. It was a greater Holocaust in Mitzrayim. The night of Mitzrayim, we encourage people to ask questions. Why bad things happen to good people?
Why?
what Klal Yisrael was good. Klal Yisrael.
Well, they have a Muna, but
whatever it was, but they have a Nitzos. They're descendants of Yaakov Avinu. They're part of Klal Yisrael. How could such a terrible
thing? They didn't have the Torah.
We encourage people to ask questions regarding Emunah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants parents Siyata Deshmaya to answer the questions properly. It's a special bracha, the night of Pesach. Tisha B'Av is the other extreme of Emunah. A person has to have Emunah, and you can't always ask a question. Tisha B'Av is a night of eggs. On Pesach, we eat eggs to remind us of Tisha B'Av. An egg has no peh. The peh is sasun. Lentils have no opening. Why? Because a person that is in a state of avelus, is the moon is challenged, has nothing to say. Keep your mouth closed, except it's a very difficult avoda. Pesach is peh soch. Open your mouth. You have a question about your faith? Speak up. Let's figure it out together. Let's work on it. The two holidays have much more in common than we. It's not just, oh, it's a nice little cute thing. Tisha B'Av is going to be challah, and we have to remember. No, the two days together capture the essence of Emunah BeHaKadosh Baruch Hu. At times, you have to accept, and you can't ask questions. And other times, you have to speak up. You got to ask. You got to know. You have to discover. There's a balance. There's a time for everything, and these two days represent the two extremes of dealing with Emunah BeHaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yeah.
Okay, this is important. You start. Let's go to another. Let's go to another idea. Okay. This is the pshat. The Chacham says, "Moh edus vechung v'mishvot v'ashashiva shemolchein v'eschem." How do you respond to the Chacham? You tell them, "V'af ato emar lo." You tell him after you eat the Pesach there is no dessert, because we are required for the Pesach, the time of the Pesach should remain in your mouth as long as possible. Are you required to actually tell the Chacham this answer? So if you read the words of the Baal HaGadah very carefully, no, you're supposed to tell afat emlo. There is a chof hadimyon. When the chacham is mohaedus v'yachukim v'hamishpatim, he wants to understand what is all about, what's going on, what is the purpose of observing the edus to chukim v'hamishpatim. He's asking a question of emunah. The answer you give him must remain with him. It has to remain. Don't just give him a lightweight answer that he'll forget, that's not going to take him through his entire life. You have to give an answer that will fulfill the theme of Ein Maftin. Don't tell him the halach of Ein Maftin Achra Pesach HaFikomen. Use the concept of Ein Maftin Achra Pesach HaFikomen as an example for the type of answer you shall give with regard to the question of the moon that your child asks. Just like Ein Maftin Achra Pesach HaFikomen, the tam should remain prepared for a very long time. The answer has to be an answer of quality. A quality answer which will remain with him for a very long period of time. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This idea resonates. Let's go to the Shvei Chamascha. Shvei Chamascha, we open up the door. Why do we open the door when we recite Shvei Chamascha? There are probably 100 reasons. From the simplest reason, probably given because it comes from the time of the blood libels. And after you eat the matzah, you want to make sure there's not a guy that's hiding outside. It's a practical reason, just security. Security check. Chazal, we think of Pesach as a lel shimurim, but Chazal are very practical. You have to go and make sure there are no dead bodies.
Trust but
verify. Verify. There are no dead bodies that are lying at your front door. There are no goyim trying to make problems. Built into the Seder, there's a security check in the middle of the Seder. So that's why you open up the door. That's one mahalach. All the mahalachim, all mystical mahalachim, Eliyahu Hanavi, all these different mahalachim, all very mystical things. But there's one idea which resonates with me very much. Let's go back to the Teva. Noach ish tzadik tamim hoya bidoy reisav. Yeish darshim lignai, yeish darshim l'shach. According to one interpretation, it's a tzadik. Oh, he was unbelievable. Yeish lignai, only in his generation. But in other generations, he would have been a nothing. He wasn't such a great tzaddik. Noach built a teva, and in the teva he built a tzohar. What is a tzohar? There are two interpretations, Chazal. One is a window, a chaloin. Another interpretation, it was a stone which provided light. what's the machlekes? So some want to connect the two opinions to what kind of tzaddik Noach was. If Noach was a very great tzaddik, that would mean he would be allowed to witness the destruction of the Rishom of his generation. Let's go a step back. Lot, when Lot fled, he was told by the Malach, don't look behind, don't look back. He told Lot and his family, don't look behind. Why not? Because you're just as wicked as the people of Sodom. And the only reason why you're being saved is in the Zechus of Avraham. Therefore, you have no right to witness the Churban of the Rasha. It's not proper, because you also deserve to die. That indicates, that teaches us, that if a person is a tzaddik, he does have the right, he is permitted to witness the Churban of the Rasha. Lot wasn't Zocha, but a tzaddik is, it's part of the Avodah to witness the Churban of the Rasha. Noach built a Teva, and he built a Tzohar. If Noach was a tzaddik, was a very great tzaddik, the Dairois of Kol Shukin, had he been in another generation, he would have been even a greater tzaddik, means that Noach was the full-fledged tzaddik. Noach, therefore, deserved to witness the Churban of the Rishoim of the Dor HaMabul. People of the Dor HaMabul, Chazal say, were wicked people. Let's not make any mistake about it. They deserved to be destroyed. Noach was a very great tzaddik. Noach deserved to be saved. And he deserved to see the fall, the destruction of all the people that tormented him and harmed him and tried to destroy his teva for the 120 years. Therefore, he was told to build a chaloin, build a window, and look out the window and see the wicked, watch them be destroyed. The other opinion says, no, Noach didn't build a window. He was not allowed. He only built, he had a stone which provided light. Why couldn't he build a window? Because Noach, you're really not that much better than everyone else. You're only B'doy Roysov. Had you been another generation, you would have been a nothing. He wasn't such a great tzaddik. Therefore, your righteousness was not on the level that entitles you to witness the destruction, the fall of the wicked. Therefore, you can't see their destruction. You have to be completely contained and need light. So, no, you'll make for yourself a glow-in-the-dark stone. Sharper image and buy a high-tech glow-in-the-dark stone that will provide light in the sukkah, in the teva, but you're not going to be able to witness the Churban. That's so we see, at least we learn from this idea, there's something called a chaloin. To witness the destruction of the Rishom, you have a chaloin. Shlei Chanosku, we're praying for the destruction of the evil, of the Rishom. But we're not only praying for their destruction, we're also praying that we should be zoicha to be tzaddikim. When you open the door, Shrecha Moscha, you really say, you're testing yourself. I'm not opening up a window. I'm opening up the door. When you open up the door, you can see a lot better than when you open a window. In fact, there's the Gemara talks about this, that compares a door is equal to four windows. You can fit four windows in the size of one door. When you open up the door and you go outside and you say, Shrecha Moscha, Yisrael Hashem, destroy the wicked. So what are you doing outside? Get inside. When Mitzrayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasach Hashem ala Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over the firstborns, where were we? We were hiding inside. And we had to put Dama Pesach Amila. You're not allowed to go outside. Why can't you go outside? Because you're not, the Klal Yisrael were wicked. They sunk to the 50th level of Tumah. They did not merit to see the destruction of their enemy. When we come to Shrecha Moscha, we're asking Hashem that when Mashiach comes and you destroy the wicked, we should be on a higher Madrega where we should merit to see their destruction. And we should merit to see the destruction in the fullest, not just through a window. A window, you only can see that much. But if you have to open up a door and you go outside, then you can see in three dimensions. You don't need to come on to any technology. You can see it b'shleimus. That is why we open the door and go outside. It's not just the bakasha to Hashem to destroy the Rishon. We're also reminding ourselves that we should work on ourselves to be tzaddikim, where we should merit to actually be able to see the Churban of the tzaddikim. Okay, let's go to another idea. In the Haggadah, there's a famous Chazal. Chazal tell us, they take note of the following contradiction. On one hand, the Pasuk says, Hashem, it says, La Hashem Ha'oretz Umiloa. To Hashem is the earth and its fullness. Hashem owns everything. Don't make any mistake about it. You own nothing in this world. Hashem owns everything. La Hashem Ha'oretz, the earth Umiloa. On the other hand, we have a pasuk that says, Hashemayim Shemayim La Hashem, Vihoretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Only the Oretz given to man. How do we reconcile this contradiction? The Gemara asks this question of Sechta Brachas. The Gemara says, Kan lifnei bracha, kan la'acha bracha. Before you make a bracha on a cup of a glass of water, it belongs to Hashem. If you drink the glass of water, you mull the hegdash. If you make a bracha, Baruch atah Hashem, l'kinu melech olam, sha'kol yeh b'dvareh, becomes yours, it's your property now, you can drink, it's v'aretz nasan l'vnei adam. That is the simple interpretation of the Gemara. There's an idea that is presented from the Balei Musa. The Balei Musa say, kam kodim rekan li'acha bracha, a person who Rachman l'tzlan is poor, doesn't have parnasa, needs to take handouts, is an evyain. For him, it's very easy to say, La Hashem Ha'aretz Mulo'a. You walk into the street, you walk into a store, everything belongs to you, Hashem. Because a person has nothing. When you have nothing, when a person is a matzav of having nothing, it's very easy to say, La Hashem Ha'aretz Mulo'a. Kan lifnei bracha. But if comes a point in time in a person's life where Hashem bestows upon an individual bracha, blessing comes down to man, and man finds in his account millions of dollars, and he's extremely successful, a person has a tendency to violate Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. Achar bracha, after a person has bracha, he's successful, unfortunately, it's V'ho'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam. Koichi V'oitzem Yadi Osili Achayel Hazeh. It's all mine. So Lifnei Bracha is, before the Bali Musa explained, Lifnei Bracha, a person, it's easy to say La Shem Aretz Simoloa, when you have nothing. But when a person is blessed and has panos, has success, he has the nesoyin of saying, Koichi V'oitzem Yadi Osili Achayel Hazeh, Achar bracha, then you got a problem of Hashem, Shemayim, Shemayim l'ha Hashem, v'ha'aretz, it's mine, not some living other. This is how the Balei Musa want to read the question and answer of the Chacham. The Chacham says, Moho edus v'hachukim v'hamishpatim asher tziv Hashem elokeinu eschem. What is the Chacham asking? Why do we need to do the mitzvos? The Seder is all about emuna. I have emuna. I go to learn kol, I learn daf gemara, a daven, it should be a world of kulu ruchnis. Just daven and learn. There should be no need to be mekayim the mitzvos. I don't need any stimulus. I don't need mitzvos. Pesach, matzah, maror. What is this all about? So the answer to the Chacham is, you know, you're right. You have a very good point. If your person had no bracha in this world, a person would be taking handouts and would suffer. It's true. It's very easy. You don't need the mitzvos, the actual kim ha-mitzvos, to stimulate you, to remind you that it's Hashem's world. It's a mitzias. A person is humbled, he's crushed, he's weak. You're right. You have a muna. But the answer to the Chacham is, Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikomen. After Yidikar and Pesach, there's no more dessert. What is the hidden message of the response to the Chacham? The all the Mepharshim say this. Everyone says the same idea. The essence of the halach of Ein Maftin Acha Pesach Avikoyim is HaPesach Nechal Al Hasoiva. You first have to fill up your stomach. You have to be fully satisfied, satiated, before you eat the karma. And the Pesach is the dessert. The Pesach is Nechal Al Hasoiva. When you eat the karma Pesach, you approach the karma Pesach in a state of the Ochalta V'Savata. When a person is in a state of yachalta v'savata, you're satisfied with life, there's a very great danger of koichi v'oitzem yadi osli esachayil hazeh v'horetz nosan livnei adam. And that's why you need mitzvos. Because since people do have bracha, people have in their lifetime bracha, and the person has a tendency to say koichi v'oitzem yadi osli esachayil hazeh, therefore you need to overcome it by doing mitzvos, because the mitzvos are actions which to some degree humble a person, they bring a person to recognize that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, let's go to the Dayan, we're running out of time. Ilu, there are a number of things, let me just jump to, okay, there are a lot of things I wanted to bring out of time, so I'm going to jump to one idea. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Ilu, Nosan lanu es memoinu v'loi koro lanu es hayom dayenu, ilu koro lanu es hayom What does it mean over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us their mamon v'lo yikara lanu etz hayam. What's kara lanu? Why is it so significant that Hashem split for us to see? This just goes back to what I mentioned before. I'm going to back off. I don't want to do that because it's take too long to do that part. Let's do it another time. Let me give you something simpler. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us through Mitzrayim and did not bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, how could we possibly say such a thing? Ilu nosan lanu es haTorah v'lo hichnisanu li Eretz Yisrael. What's the purpose? The whole purpose of the Torah is to come to be mekayim the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? So this is a similar dvar from the Balei Musar. We know that when Mashiach comes, all the Batei Kenosis, the Batei Midrashos are going to be uprooted and brought to Eretz Yisrael. What does that teach us? That the Beis HaKnesses itself has the status, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So there was such a Havamina that there can be Eretz Yisrael in the Batei Kenosis, the Batei Midrashos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, He took us to America, took us to Uganda. And Uganda, the land doesn't have Kedusha. But the Batei Kenosis, the Batei Midrashos, they have the Kedusha of Eretz, that would have been Dayenu. But on top of the Kadosh Baruch Hu did take us further. He gave us to a land where the Avir itself has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That is an additional Maila. Okay, let's go to the Echad Miyodea. Echad Miyodea. Why? Okay, now let me just tell you a Vart to start with Echad Miyodea, and the rest of it you have to figure out for yourself. I don't have more than three. But the Echad Miyodea, what's this all about? Who knows one? I know one. There has to be something much deeper hidden within the questions of 1, 2, 3, 4 through 13. So let's just start it off. What is unique about Echad? It refers to the first day of creation. The first day of creation, Yom Echad. What should it have really said when we compare it to the other days? Rishon. Rishon is part of a series. So that's really what the Baal HaGadah is asking. Echad Miyodea. Why does it say Echad? What is unique about Echad? It's Echad and not Rishon. What's the answer? Because the word Echad also alludes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would say the word Rishon, that means there's one God, it's Apikursis. And then there's a Sheni, there's a second God, there's a third God, there's a fourth God.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why Yoim Echad, the reason why, because the first day of creation was the moment in Bria where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, Hashem is Echad Ushmo Echad, it alludes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore he could not possibly say Rishon, it had to have written Echad, because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there is no second. If you want to allude to a second, you use the word Rishon. When you use the word Echad, that has a connotation. There's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, with that idea in mind, let's go to the second. Shnayim Yodeh, who knows too? What is unique about the second day of creation? What's the problem with the second day of creation? What is unique? Does not say the word Toiv. Why? Because in the second day of creation, Machlokes was broken. Shnayim Yodeh. Why doesn't it say, what else in Chazal do we have that doesn't have the letter Tov, the letter Tess? The Shnei Luchos HaBris.
Yeah.
When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Luchos, Hashem knew, Allah Osid, that they would be shattered. And therefore the letter Tess does not appear in the first set of Luchos. Because Leman Yitav Loch does not appear in the Luchos Rishonis. Why? Chas v'shalom, Poska, Toiva, Mi Yisrael. So the test is absent. So when we say Shnayim Miyodea, we're really not just a who knows two. We're focusing on something unique about the number two. A unique problem with the number two is on the second day of creation, Tov is absent. Where else in Chazal do we have the absence of the letter Tes, Tov, for a good reason? The Luchos. The Shnei Luchos HaBris also are missing the letter Tes because Chas V'Sholem Pascha Tova Yisrael. Okay, now I come to three. What's unique about the third day of creation? Toiv is twice. Toiv appears twice. What do we know about something that appears twice? V'yom Hashem Avraham Avraham Yaakov, Yaakov. Anytime something appears twice, it represents Chazal say Chavivos. Hashem doesn't just repeat himself for no reason. Repetition is Chavivos. From all of the creatures in this world, who are the most Chaviv? The Avos. The Shlosh Avos. The Shlosh Avos, when we say there are three, it doesn't just mean that there are three. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem Chaviva Yisir Shenoidas Lohem. In addition to that, it was made known to them that they're Chaviv. The significance of the number three is Chavivos, because on the third day, Toiv is repeated, repetition represents Chavivos, and Chavivos is true with regard to the Shlosh Avos. Now, I only told you that's the beginning, now you have to figure out the rest on your own. You got to go through all 13. Okay, another avor about the Echam Yodea, so it's a avor from the Baalei Musar. Why do we have to repeat the entire sequence? We can finish the Haggadah 10 minutes earlier. Echad miyodeya, echad lekeinu shavash navaretz. Shnai miyodeya, shnei luchos amris. Why do we have to repeat? Oh, by the way, echad lekeinu shavash shnai navaretz. Shlosh miyodeya, shlosh avos. Nochmo, shnei luchos amris. Echad lekeinu. Why do we have to go through the repetition? So the Baal Mus explains something very powerful, very profound, is after you have the shnei luchos amris, it's nish the zelba, it's not the same echad lekeinu shavash shnai navaretz. When you're young, and you learn, you taught in Cheder, you know what, there's something called Echad Lokeinu Shebashmayim Vavar, it's okay. That's the level of understanding Kaddish Baruch Hu on a very simple level. But when you get a little bit older, and they tell you that we have the Torah, Torah Tziva Lan Moshe, we have the Shnei Luchos HaBris, that forces you to review, to gain a deeper appreciation in Echad Lokeinu Shebashmayim Vavar. When you get a little bit older, and you learn about the Shalosh Avos, and you appreciate who they were, what they represent, that automatically changes your understanding of the Shnei Luchos HaBris. And now with a new appreciation of the Shnei Luchos HaBris, I have now even a deeper, more profound understanding of Echad Elokeinu Shebash Shemayim Vaaretz. It's not just a poetic repetition of its Musar. You go through 13 rounds of understanding of Echad Elokeinu, and through that you go through 13 rounds, or every you go through multiple rounds of gaining deeper appreciation. Each time you learn a new concept, it forces you to renew and to deepen your appreciation of things that you learned in the past, not just a simple poetic repetition. Now, for all of the 13 things of the Echad Miyodea, there are only two which really stand out. Anyone want to guess which two stand out that really don't sit? There are two from the 13. One is Hashem, two is the Luchos, three are the Avos, four are the Mos, five Chamish Shechem Shetaris, six are the Shisha Storm of Mishnah, seven is Shabbos, eight is Mila, nine is Yarchei Leida, 10 is the Aseres Hadibros, 11 is the stars, 12 are the Shvatim, and 13 are the Yigilim and Sarachanim. Okay, no one is losing sleep over 11 of the 13. The only two from the 13 which you can lose sleep over is the Tisha Yarchi Leda and the 11 stars. Ma'in Zelazah. You couldn't do better. We couldn't figure out nine. What's going on over here? 9 and 11. What's it all about? So I think there's something very significant about 9 and 11. No, you told me 9 and 11. Okay. I'm not thinking along. 9 and 11. 9-11. Nothing happens by coincidence. What's 9-11? 9, where in the Torah, for the first time, do we find a significant event that happened after 9 months? Show me a place. I challenge you. Show me in the Torah. Something happened after 9 months and it was very significant. They were counting. They were counting the 9 months and it was very significant. What's the answer? Leidas Moshe. Miriam went, had to bend backwards to convince her parents to remarry. He was born after 6 months, not 6 months. He was born 6 months. The Egyptians, according to Chazal, when Amram divorced Yocheved, the whole Klal Yisrael separated. There was RCA, it was very busy getting divorces the whole day. Everyone separated. And then when he took her back, everyone was very busy. The Mitzrayim, they watched and they knew Amram took back Yocheved to have a child. They counted the days. 6 months came. Moshe, according to Rashi, was born prematurely. Okay, they were not subject to inspection because it's only 6 months. Then it came 9 months. V'lo yochol od hatzpino. 9 months, the Tisha Yarche Leda came to an end. V'lo yochol od hatzpino. What did they do? What did they do? They threw him into the Nile. What did Miriam do? V'teisatzav achosom erichok lidea mayi oselo. Chazal give her very high praise. The pasuk is structured lidea mayi oselo. Miriam knew she had emuna that Moshe would survive. The only question was, how would he survive? This is what the Tisha Yarche Leda is coming to teach us in the all of the things of the Echad Miyodea all fit into the theme of the Seder of emuna. Everything all comes back to one concept, emuna. The Tisha, from the Tisha Yarche Leda, we learn an incredible limud in emuna in Bias HaMashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Goyal Rishon. And what was the emuna that Miriam showed Klal Yisrael, taught Klal Yisrael about the Melech HaMashiach? V'teisatzav achosom erichok lidea mayi oselo. He's coming. That's not a question. When will he come? Is he coming? Will he come? He's coming. The question is, just how will it unfold? How will it unfold? After Tisha Yarche Leda, he has to reveal himself, this Melech HaMashiach. We don't know what to do with him. We put him in the Nile. I'm going to watch. Every person, when the Seder is over, has to renew his emuna and come to a point where he identifies with Miriam. How will he present himself? How will he appear? Now what about 11? 11 is exactly the same theme. How did Yaakov Avinu respond to the dream with the 11 stars are bowing down to the Aviv Shamares Mitzape? And Rashi quotes, what does it mean, Shomer? Shomer Emun. Rashi gives an example of how the word Shomer, what does it mean? It means to wait, to guard the faith. Rashi, look at the Rashi in that pasuk, Shomer Emunim, just like to guard the faith. Lel Shimurim, the Aviv Shomar anticipation. And Yaakov Avinu, when the brothers would bow down to Yosef, this was a degree of geula, this was a degree of salvation, because they were starving and there was disagreement between the brothers, and there was period. When the brothers bowed down to Yosef, there was a reunification of Klal Yisrael. It was a recognition of the greatness of Yosef. There were a lot of very powerful things, that's not for now, but a lot of things happened at that moment in time. And Yaakov Avinu, Shomar Esadav, Mitzape, Emuna.
He said the 12 sheaves of wheat or whatever.
Because there was no degree of Emuna in that. Yaakov only said this thing, the of Shomar Esadav was only said in the Torah explicitly with regard to the dreams.
That was the second dream.
Only by that dream. So it's not just the 11 stars. What lies in those 11 stars? The limud is, we should learn from Yaakov. Shomar es hadavar. We should learn from Yaakov to be mitzape. Mosa yovoi. Achakelo b'chol yom shiyovoi. When will Mashiach come? Okay. Just a short yidia. Chasal l'sidur Pesach kilchosoi. Where does that come? Chasal l'sidur Pesach. It really comes from Shabbos Hagadol. This was borrowed from a yoitzer. There was a. It's one of the yoitzeros. It's not a yoitzer. I'm sorry. There's a piyut. On Shabbos HaGadol, there's a popular piyut that you're supposed to say Erev Pesach instead of saying Pirkei Avos. Or you see, there's a piyut which goes through all of the halachas. At the end of all the halachas, there are expressions there which are very similar to Chasal to the Pesach. So when it says, there's a pshat part. Kasher zechinu l'sader oisai kei niske l'asoisai really only makes sense Erev Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, because there you're not doing anything. You're not eating matzah. You're not eating maror. You're not going through the seder. You're just reading words. You're reading all of the halachas. Erev Pesach, mincha, you're supposed to go through, read this piyut, and go through all of the halachas of the seder. So you are truly only being mesader. Mesader means to arrange it with words. Hasher is hein mesader, kein niske lasis, which is zecha to actually do it. So when we took that piyut and we put it into the Haggadah, however it got into the Haggadah, hasher is hein mesader, kein niske lasis, it doesn't really make sense.
Isn't it
a Tilum somewhere? No, Kasher Zachin L'Sadr is a piyut. That's what you just mentioned. It's a piyut that appears in the Siddur Erev Pesach Erev Pesach, or Shabbos HaGadol, there is a piyut that goes through all of the halachos of the Seder. It has there even other things that we don't have. Mayim Achreinim. Right, in our Seder Adam, we don't mention Mayim Achreinim, but in the that piyut we have Seder Adam. And there it concludes with an expression, Kasher Tzvim L'Sadik and Yitzchak L'Asoysoy. It makes sense. So when we take it into the HaGadol, it doesn't really have true meaning, because it's been barred from the Seder. Okay, so we extrapolate, we say the same way we were Masader to make the Seder, so we also be Zerchah to actually do it. But in the real meaning, it means the same way they were Zerchah to arrange it with words in Erev Pesach, which was Zerchah to have a Seder that goes by without a hitch, without any problems. Alright, we'll pick up more next week.